Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And I'm going to read from when the angels appeared to the shepherds. Verse 8 says, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in a field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." They were just minding their own business, doing their job as shepherds, watching their flock. The angel of the Lord came, and the glory of God was shining round about them. The angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Good tidings of great joy. Now, he's about to proclaim, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." When you understand you're in bondage, when you understand you're a slave to sin, there is no greater good news or greater joy than that you can be free. And really, to whatever degree we realize we've been in bondage to sin, we will appreciate Christ as Savior. If you don't really have much conviction about sin, don't realize that that separated you from God, that it brought torment, that it kept you in darkness and fear and all these type of evil things, if we don't realize that, we can't really appreciate the Savior. But to the degree we understand what sin has done in our life, bringing death and all of the byproducts of it, there's no greater word to bring joy than the fact that freedom's been brought to you. And as the angels come to the shepherds here with their flock, now he's going to use them to be a witness to the Christ being born, witness to Joseph and Mary. They declare, "To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now, in Luke's gospel, it says that they were looking for a place. They had to go back to Bethlehem to pay their taxes. It was commanded by the authorities. And there was no place for Jesus to be born. Essentially, we'd say he was born in a barn. And where she would have laid him was in a feed trough. In the filth of a barn. Now, we have some nice barns here in Pennsylvania. It's not a Pennsylvania barn. This is an old-style barn. And it says in Proverbs, if there's no ox, the stall's clean. There's animals in the pen, it's going to be a dirty place. And it's very symbolic in that Jesus was born in the midst of all that filth, which is a picture of the sin of humanity, the darkness of humanity. He came in the midst of all of that. Verse 13 says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were going away from them to heaven, then the shepherds said, Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, that the Lord's made known to us. Suddenly, there was the angel who was speaking to them, a multitude of the heavenly hosts." Now, using the word multitude is a vast number, possibly too many to count. In the book of Revelation, chapter 5, it speaks about multitude of angels praising and worshiping. It says thousands times ten thousands times ten thousands and thousands and thousands. So we're talking like millions of angels. You can imagine what that sounds like, and that's something we all have to look forward to. You spend a little time before the literal throne of God with all the angels of God praising him and us joining in with him. And I'm going to share with you a few things here. My title is Through Angels' Eyes. Seeing this through the eyes of the angels. There's a lot of perspectives with the birth of Christ, but today I want to look at through angels' eyes. And at this point, the angel declares, "Unto you is born a Savior, Christ the Lord." What a powerful moment in history. The prophetic words being fulfilled. The angels declare it. And then a multitude come and begin singing and praising God. Now, angels are created beings as well, as you and I are created by God. Angels are created by God. And Hebrews 1:14 says that they are here to minister for the heirs of salvation. That's you. We have an inheritance in Christ. In our salvation, God's provided a lot of things. And the angels are part of God's ministry team to minister to us. And throughout the Bible, we see the ministry of angels. At times they bring a word. At times they might have brought deliverance or protection. But the angelic ministry is something that we should have expectation. It's wise for us to be confessing and speaking that when we pray. And just thank God for the ministry of angels. Now, we are more prone to do that when we travel because we become conscious of possible danger traveling. And I shared before how in India, when we get in the car, there will be a time of prayer, thanking God for the angels who are going before us, behind us, on the sides, you don't get T-boned and everything else because it's rather dangerous. Where, you know, when we are not conscious of danger, I mean, sometimes I do that here and sometimes I don't because I'm not as conscious of it being dangerous here. But the more conscious you are of danger, the more you're going to be inclined to consider the angel's ministry. The reality is we should be, in faith relative to their ministry, just, on a daily basis. Not because we're afraid of anything, but because they're there for a purpose. Now, what we want to understand, Psalm 103, verse 20 says, "They hearken to the voice of his word. They hearken to his commands and to the voice of his word." You're not the boss of angels. Jesus is the boss of everything. And what the angels do, they respond to the word of God or to the commandments of God. In other words, he may command them, go and do this, deliver Steve when he's in the truck from this accident that's in progress here, ready to happen. And, the angel, the word of the Lord would come because you're in faith. You see, the angels hearken to the voice of his word, but we've been given his word to speak his word. So we need to do our part, speaking the word of God in the name of Jesus, and have expectation for the ministry of angels. Now, there are times God's blessing comes in different ways, and that might not be needed. But I've observed in listening to people as I travel in different nations that times and places and people where there is less of the word of God but a sincere heart, you would have many times more manifestations of angels. And that was most notable to me in the former Soviet countries when the Iron Curtain fell and the gospel was beginning to come in and people were accepting the Lord, but very few had Bibles because they were not legal up till that point. And people would just cry out to the Lord. And there were so many, I've heard the stories being there, many, many stories of people of angelic appearance and manifestation, even one where there was a city quarantined, which the Russians would quarantine cities where they would make weapon systems. No one's allowed in and out. And actually, when I was in Abakan in Siberia, and we were doing Bible school in a day and revival meetings at night, there would be a few pastors. They let them have lunch or dinner with us and fellowship, and this, it was about three pastors, and they drove 1,000 miles, part of it on ice, to get to these meetings. They're so hungry for the word. And this one guy told me, "Well, you can't come to my city. It's quarantined. We make bombs for Iran." That's what he told me. "We make bombs for Iran." But the CIA knows about it. We must have had a satellite and had pictures, and then somebody snuck them in, the pictures in, and posted them on a town square to tell them, "We know what you're doing." That's back in the days when President Bush referred to the evil access, the axis of evil, Iran, Iraq, and North Korea, I think is what he said. But the Russians were making weapons for them. So you'd have quarantined cities. But I remember hearing a story where an angel or angels wrote scriptures in the sky. And within, over this quarantined city, and many saw the word written in the sky by angels and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't underestimate God's creativity and what he can do to get the gospel to people. He's not limited. We can tend to limit him, but he's not. He doesn't limit himself. And you know, you hear these various stories of angelic ministry, and that continues here as well. But I've had, I remember this one pastor telling me a few years back, we haven't had as much of that manifesting as back in the beginning because we have the word now. We have Bibles, we have the word, the teaching of the word. So we're just believing God for all that he promised. But back then, we didn't have all of that, and all we could do is just cry out to God, and we just watch the miracles and angelic manifestation. Expect angelic ministry. Expect that. I expect that. I know a man, a preacher, who ministers in music, and they literally, I mean, his heartbeat is to minister, just minister to the Lord. And they literally had, you know, recorded there was angels playing instruments that were not in the building and singing as well. And it was, this actually was recorded, maybe it was a year or 2 years ago. Donna heard an angel when we were in prayer meeting. Behind, it was a snowy night, and it was just a few of us were able to come or came that night. And we were just worshiping, you know, just sitting around a few, you know, a group. So it doesn't have to be some elaborate, great, you know, the most dynamic worship service you were ever in. It doesn't have to be like that. You might say, well, why did God do that? Well, I don't know. There's a lot of things I'll be asking questions when I get to heaven. But we were just, you know, worshiping, and Donna heard a voice behind her. Worshiping, singing. She turned around and looked. There was nobody back there. She thought, well, it's so-and-so, you know, normally maybe would have sat behind her. There's nobody back there. And there's an angel joining in. I expect that. I do. I expect as times we get together and worship. There's a choir, a heavenly choir, joining in. Well, that's what happened here. That the angel speaking this and a whole heavenly choir burst on the scene singing glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I've listened to people who have been to heaven, and this one brother in particular, been to heaven many times. But different ones would all say the same thing. There's no, you can't even describe the worship in heaven. Now, God's listening for our heart. And if your voice isn't the greatest, it runs through a filter. And God hears what's coming from the heart. So, you know, he wants us to be worshipers. We were created to be worshipers. Don't let your pride stop you because maybe you're not a professional singing voice. That's just pride. You know, well, I don't want anybody to hear me. Well, you should want God to hear you. He's the one that matters. Doesn't matter if somebody else says whatever. If their heart would be right, they would hear your heart too. Not your squeaky, cracky voice or whatever, you know, whatever it might be. I thank God there's people blessed with awesome voices. We can all be blessed. But nonetheless, God wants us all to participate, to release praise from our heart. And that's one of the things that's going to be a part of us being in heaven. Well, here in this moment in time, God commands them to manifest or to come and worship the Christ at his birth. And Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, where it says that. That's where I get this from. I'm not making stuff up. It's what the Bible says. Hebrews 1, 6 says, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. So the Lord gave a word, and whether it was all the angels of heaven or whether some worshiping him while they're still in heaven and some down on earth, he gave the word and the angels responded to the word of God. Now, the reason I'm saying this, we have to understand the kingdom of heaven completely operates by the commandment of the Lord. He is Lord. And we see in covenant relationship, as he gives us a command and we obey, that's what governs the release of life, is the obedience to him. Now, from the angel's perspective, who did not rebel against God, one-third followed Satan, died spiritually, their destiny's hell, two-thirds stayed in heaven. From their perspective, created beings operate according to the command of God because that's how his kingdom works. They don't take it on themselves to do anything. They completely operate as the Lord commands them. That's what the scripture shows us. Now, man was created with a choice. We are able to choose what we're going to do. The angels in heaven don't have that choice. They do what he says. For us to be more Christ-like is to obey his commands. That's, you know, how we learn to operate according to his kingdom. But at the same time, we have a choice. God created us that way. And Adam, he chose to follow Satan and ended up taking on sin nature and in the need for the Savior. God knew that. He created him with that propensity or tendency to do that, the possibility to do that, because God in his plan all along wanted to have his son come and die for our sin. God so loved the world, he sent his son. Whosoever believeth on him will not perish, but have life everlasting. The love of God is revealed one way, by the death of the Son of God. It's not by you kissing babies and petting puppy dogs. It's by the death of the Son of God. That's how we know love. That's the only way the Bible instructs us to know love. And what the Father was after was a family who would know his very heart, his character, which is love at the very core. The DNA of God is love. That's what he was after. So he in his plan, he had a people who would be bound in sin and experience death and separation from God, who now need a Savior. But in God sending a son to save us, he revealed his love. And that is forever. There's only a few things you take to heaven. Your money's not one of them. That's not needed there. This body's not one of them. Yeah, you'll get a new one. You can say, praise God for that. These bones are creaking and cracking. Praise God for a new body. But you're going to take the revelation you have, because our time here on earth, you're able to see the love of God, the mercy, the grace, and all that he is, because there is a contrast between darkness and light, between death and life, selfishness and love, fear and faith. There are these contrasts here. So in the midst of the suffering that you would have here, which is for a brief moment in time, it can seem long to us. And when you're in pain, big time pain, seconds can seem like hours, okay? But in the reality, our life goes so fast, poof, it's gone. And a little bit of pain here is nothing in comparison to seeing and understanding the glory of God. And to know what it is to have yourself bound in sin, but God so loved that he sent a son to die for you, to take your sin upon himself and pay the price, and then be raised from the dead. You know, in that we see the love of God. So what God's after then is a people who will serve him, a family, a bride, who will serve him because we love him, not just because we're commanded. Now, in the kingdom, there is commands, and as you obey, the kingdom life, the fruit, is released. But God's desire is not for you to do that by force, but by choice. He created you with choice. So it says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. As you see that love for you, your love is generated toward him. And Jesus said, if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. So the revelation of his love for us generates the heart for obedience. And the obedience brings the release of covenant life and blessing. Now, angel-wise, angels don't know this by revelation. They've seen all that God has done, but the angels that are in heaven have never been separated from God. So they don't understand the need for mercy and grace. They've not needed that. But you and I do. We have, we do now, and we will in the future. We need the continual grace and mercy and love of God being poured out to us. We're not deserving of blessing. But God in his grace brought Jesus Christ. God in his favor to us brought salvation to us. You see, the difference between Christianity and all other religions is all other religions, man's trying to get to God. Christianity says God so loved you, he came to you. He came not just to us, but he became as we were that he might take our sin upon him and be the sacrifice for our sin. So the angels, they see everything in heaven operating at the command of the Lord, and they're watching this from the beginning. They watch God create Adam and Eve. They watch and see the fall of man. They watch and see the plan of God unfolding where he raises up the nation of Israel, calls Abraham, and all of those things that took place, they were part of it. They at times stepped in on the scene and brought deliverance or a word to certain people. They're watching it all. They don't understand. You might say, well, where do you get that? Well, I'm glad you thought the thought. No one asked me, but I assume you thought the thought. Well, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. And actually, I'll start up at verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. Speaking of our salvation. See, the prophets spoke by inspiration, but they didn't have the revelation. They didn't really understand the very thing they were speaking of. But they were still used to speak it forth. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So they didn't understand like when or how all these things are going to happen, but they did know that Christ was going to come and salvation would be brought. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things that are now reported to you by them that have preached the gospel to you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. They would love to understand this salvation. They would love to understand a revelation of the love and the grace and mercy of God. Yeah, I'll give you an illustration of something. Someone who always has everything, it's not really possible for them to have appreciation for much anything. I'll say that again. If someone always has everything, it's almost not possible to really appreciate anything. Don't be an envy of someone who has everything. Don't envy people like that. They have their own challenge. How do they appreciate when they don't know what it is to yearn for something, to have to believe God for something, to work towards a particular goal. That's why Jesus said, he who's forgiven little loves little, he who's forgiven much loves much. And it doesn't mean he had to be a bigger sinner, but rather just have the understanding and a revelation that you were bound in sin and the Lord paid the great price. He was the only one to set you free. And God wants us to see and understand that, so he gave us the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us. But the angels have not been apart from God. All they know is the glory of heaven. That's all they know. They see what's happening here, but it's not really their experience. So they desire to see and understand this. So from their perspective, they are serving God in heaven and on earth at his command. They see the plan of God through the ages being done here, and they're involved with it. But they don't really understand. At the command of the Lord, the angels manifest at the birth of Christ, because the Lord told them, go worship him. It was like, I mean, the great moment in human history, the history of God's creation, the Christ, the Savior's come, only to be topped by the fact that he was raised from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God. And we also have the fact that he's going to come again. And ultimately, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And we see at the end of the Bible that there would be a new heavenly city, Jerusalem, New Jerusalem. And the bride of Christ would come down from heaven to a new earth. And that the bride of Christ is the people, his family, which is what he was after, the jewel, the bride. And in the bride of Christ, the love of God is revealed at its highest point. That he gave himself for his bride, and that she loves him because he is the Savior. Let me go to Ephesians chapter 3 for a moment. In Ephesians 3, I think we start around verse 9, Paul's speaking of him preaching the gospel, and he says, to make all men see what the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world was hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. God had it, the plan in his heart before he even started. Now remember, the angels, they're watching this happen, and they're a part of it, but they don't really understand. It says, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, it's referencing the angels and the other beings in heaven as revealed in the book of Revelation. It might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. God had a purpose and a plan before he started. That purpose was to have that bride of Christ, to have that family of the Father, that would come, that would be in heaven, not just like the angels praising him at his command, but rather would be in heaven having chosen the Christ because we've seen his love for us. And our praise for him through eternity is based on that revelation. God, I see your love for me. I see your mercy. Make it new to me every day, Lord. I'll praise you forever and ever, for you've saved me. You've delivered me. You brought me into your family. You've given me new life. And the angels, when the church is comes to completion, and at the end, and God wraps it all up, and the Lord receives his bride, in that, the angels see what God was up to from the beginning. The Christ has his bride. The Father has his family. Hallelujah. And we see in the book of Revelation, we'll all be together praising and worshiping him. The angels of God at his command. The saints of God, the bride of Christ, the family of God. at the revelation. We know him for who he is. And that's why it says that loving kindness is better than life. Too often we can get pulled into thinking the affairs of this life, everything being in order, is a higher thing. It's not. The greatest thing for your life is that you know him. Jeremiah 9:23 says, to glory in this, that you know me, you know my loving kindness. Sometimes people have situations in life and human nature says, oh God, just get me out of this. Just get me out of this. And he will. However, sometimes we went out of the very thing where we're going to see a greater depth of love than we could have ever known. And the greater thing is that. That's the greater thing. To come into the place where we know him for who he is in a greater way. The pains and sorrows of this life are very, very short, very, very temporary. But in the midst of that, we're forced to draw upon him. And that's where the greater revelation is going to come. It's the more valuable thing. So God's not looking for robots. He's looking at people that know him. We'll love him for who he is. You know, that's what you want. Someone to love you for who you are. Not because they have to. And we say, Lord, keep changing us to be more like him. But we were made in his image. Every human being wants to be loved. God wants our love for him. So as we consider Jesus Christ, as you have celebrations and so forth, keep this thought in mind above everything. Lord, you came. You came. The prophetic word was fulfilled. The plan of God is being brought to pass. In that I see love. Lord, you died that you could birth a family. That was worth it all for you. For the joy set before you, it was worth it all. Lord, we are your church. We are your bride. And you're preparing us for yourself. He will continue working to prepare each one of us. It's just up to us whether we're cooperative or not. But at the end, all the angels will realize and be able to really see and understand, according to Ephesians, and understand what God was up to. It's in the Word, has to be revealed to us. But they'll understand too. The great expression of the love of God for us. It's really what it's all about.